Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Paddock Project. I am Tiggy, and today is a Planet Paddock episode for our sustainability series, and I am here with none other than Dr. Christiana Pace. Christiana, you've done so much in the realm of motorsport and sustainability, so I don't even know where to begin, but a few highlights. You've been an engineer in motorsport, you've worked at the FIA, you've now founded and launched Innovation, a consulting firm focused on sports sustainability, where you're doing a whole host of exciting things, but you've had such an incredible and unique career path, starting as an engineer, evolving into a leader in sustainability. What originally drew you to motorsport, and when did sustainability enter the picture for you as an area of focus?
So I think, first of all, thanks for inviting me. It's always great to talk with you, and it's fantastic what you're doing as well. In terms of when motorsport entered the scenes, I would say almost never. It's a bit of a strange story. As a young kid, I was really interested in technology and in technology evolving. And I was one of the kids that always want to see more and more and more and very fast paced. So when I joined engineering, it wasn't because I was mad at motorsport. I didn't even know that it existed since after 2 years in my engineering career, I would say. I was mad about technology. I was mad about the fast pace evolving technology in everything, in electronics, in technology, like space technology. So that's why I really did engineering, about learning about that technology and the evolving technology. And then when I was doing my engineering in Bologna University, Bologna was very well connected with the motorsport world. So we got invited to go and see in Imola circuit some of the race in case we wanted to become scrutineers for Imola circuit. So I went along with some of my friends. Was a free pizza on the go. So
that's a great reason to go.
Student yet to go. so that is where I actually started to understand that technology and motorsport were really connected. And motorsport was that place where there were fast-paced technology coming in and changing every 6 months, and there was materials, and there was electronics, and everything was really connected to my ideas where I wanted to work in this fast-paced environment. So as I said, it's like I didn't even know that motorsport was since then. existing. So when I arrived there, I was really drawn to these very inclusive. I think we were 5 girls from engineering going in, and there were about 10 guys as well. And very, very welcoming, very, very friendly place where everybody was really encouraging us to learn the technology, not just from a kind of university point of view, but hands-on. So I remember I was studying engine in one of my course in Bologna University, and one of the guys in the Ferrari Challenge race said to me, "Oh, we'll open one of their engines, so come and have a look." You know, like, so it was all connected, and it was fantastic, and that is how I got really passionate about that, and that evolved into me being a scrutineer for ACI Sport, that is the governing body of motorsport in Italy, mm-hmm. and therefore being able to do quite a lot of races as a scrutineer, including the F1 Grand Prix as a scrutineer in one of the garages, and being able to see the technology and to really fall in love with that motorsport technology.
Yeah. So we have free pizza to thank for your career, basically. I love that. That's an incredible story. And so then when did sustainability become such an area of focus for you, and how did those two things merge?
That is another strange story.
Free pasta?
Now, this time is a bit of a different one. So my grandparents were farmers. So I grew up in a very joyful environment where 3 months in the summer, because in Italy we got 3 months holiday, I used to spend with my grandparents where they were going out farming and we were going and enjoy the nature and always climbing on the trees and all, like going swimming on the lakes, all that things that you do when you are outside in the outdoors. So bringing 23 years after that, when I actually entered in the FIA Formula One Technical Department, in 2008, Charlie Whiting and Max Mosley decided that we needed to do a carbon footprint for Formula One. And that is the first time that I've heard about carbon footprint, and the first time was quite early at that time, really. And as I was the only girls in the team that went on my side, so it's kind of like, so they needed to do this carbon footprint, they need to collect some data. I was really good with Excel. I was there as a data analyst, so data were my things. So they asked if I wanted to get involved, and I got involved in collecting the data and trying to calculate the carbon footprint for F1 in 2008. The idea was to offset those and being carbon neutral for that years. And then after that, I was in 2009, I became also part of the FIA Institute for Motorsport Safety and Sustainability. And that is when the safety and sustainability piece were actually driven by the same agenda and by the same people. So we started with having a look at more sustainable material, but also like financial sustainability for single-seater formula. And then in 2011, we started to think about a framework that could incorporate some governance into motorsport, and that is when FIA has created the FIA environmental accreditation. Yeah. So it's kind of like it evolved until 2012, my knowledge of sustainability, when I joined Williams F1 to drive the strategy, the commercial strategy for Williams Advanced Engineering. And at that time, we were looking for a differentiation piece for Williams Advanced Engineering, because there were quite a lot of F1 teams that already had a spin-off that did technology. And me being me driving that strategy, I was very much, oh, we should actually put sustainability at the center of all these. And that was a fantastic 4 years that I had, 5 years that I had with them, because it's not just building a strategy with sustainability in mind for a spin-off of a Formula One teams, was actually looking for projects to embed the sustainability, environmental and social. So we did quite a lot of projects with the NHS to develop some technology coming from F1 for helping them and helping the people. We also did some project purely for environmental sustainability. So Net Efficient, for example, that was fitting some energy storage on wind turbines to collect the energy rather than stop the turbines and nothing is going to the grid anymore when the grid was full, and to the Formula E battery. So that was the moment where I realized that sustainability could be embedded in business strategy, and that sport and motorsport needed a lot of sustainability to survive, because their business model wasn't sustainable, and especially like their footprint was quite large. So I went back, I left Williams in 2015, went back to the drawing board, did a PhD on sustainability strategic management, and founded my own company in 2018 to do that.
Well, I'm really excited to talk about that journey as well. But maybe first, we hear so much about how motorsport is sort of a test bed for innovation that can trickle out into the wider world. Where do you, given all of your experience, see the biggest opportunities for motorsport to drive kind of real world sustainability solutions?
So I think the medical sector is quite an interesting sector to take as an example. So when I was with Williams Advanced Engineering, we did a project with the NHS, that is the National Health for the UK, where we actually embedded some active dampers on some I don't remember how it's called, but some little
incubators.
Yeah, incubator for babies when the baby is really poor and really sick, to try to like fine tune the suspension so that it wouldn't have much of room or noise or vibration. So, but also, for example, McLaren F1 has worked with NHS to do some remote sensing and remote monitoring for diabetes type 1 people. So with their telemetry systems that they developed through their applied branch, other things in that direction is when COVID hit, yeah. We were part with the innovation of a number of projects that the F1 teams were doing. So we collaborate with hospital. We didn't do the respirators one, but we did an Oxford box. So it was a box for intubating the patients that was trying to screen the doctor from the virus. And that was all tested with CFD and very, very similar to what you do in a car. We were doing it with this piece of equipment for the doctors. So, and I think there are lots of other examples for transferable knowledge, really. Also, we got transferable knowledge in automotive. You know that Formula E has breathed lots of technology that now is in electric cars, the drive-by-wire, for example. Some of the material that are used in the case that contains the battery. So, but also the efficiency of the engine in Formula One that actually has been passed through automotive, and now that 40% efficiency from like 25 years ago that you wouldn't imagine now. So yeah. A lot of things that really come from F1 that people don't really realize.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And that's one of the reasons I love the sport so much. But so you've driven a lot of the sustainability thinking in the sport at the FIA. Talk to me a little bit about that journey from where it's gone to where it is now, especially in F1. We have the 2026 regulations being more focused on sustainability. F1 has a goal to be net zero by 2030. And of course, the FIA environmental accreditation. Now all teams are 3-star certified. So talk to me kind of about that journey. Is it heading in the way that you hope? And has it exceeded your expectations, or is there more work to do?
In a nutshell, I think it's heading in that way, but it's not fast enough. Yeah. we need a systemic change to change the, because motorsport is a system. So mm-hmm. It's not enough to change the car. It's not enough to change the team. We obviously need to change the logistic. We need to change the travel. We need to change the way the funds coming to the sport and see the sport. So there is quite a bigger piece to do, but it's a piece that is not just for motorsport. It's a piece that is for all sport. So it's a piece where if we actually get together and partner with other sport and really, really follow the SDG 17, that is my favorite, that partnership for the goals, we can actually make a big impact. I think motorsport has started to go in some direction, but like trying to change the aviation industry or the logistic industry, the shipping industry, they're not going to decarbonize until 2040, 2050. They've got much longer targets. So that is going to be the biggest challenge. So when we talk about what F1 is doing or what motorsport is doing, they're doing great on their little bubble, if you want. But in terms of hitting that target, they really need a systemic change, not just changing of their little kind of remit.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might actually not be Ferrari strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I personally took the quiz, and one of the recommendations I got was to start Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, fatigue, weight gain, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today. Even if you think it's a bit overhyped, AI is suddenly everywhere, from customer service to Formula Auto racing. If it's not in your industry yet, it's coming fast. but AI needs a lot of speed and computing power. So how do you compete without costs spinning out? Time to race to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a blazing fast and secure platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, plus all your AI and machine learning workloads. OCI costs 50% less for compute and 80% less for networking. That is a lot of prize money. Thousands of businesses have already upgraded to OCI, including Vodafone, Thomson Reuters, and Suno AI. Right now, Oracle is offering to cut your current cloud bill in half if you move to OCI for new U.S. customers with minimum financial commitment. Offer ends May 31st. See if your company qualifies for this special offer at oracle.com/paddock. That's oracle.com/paddock. Is there a lesson you think that motorsport can take from another industry that is successfully decarbonizing? Like, what's an industry that really excites you right now in that space?
I think there are some learning from other sport and other industry. So if you think about the shipping industry at the moment, Fincantieri, that is an Italian big company that does big shipping boats. They are actually trialing a sustainable boat with different mode of powering the boat, and that they are sustainable. So it's not yet in the public domain, but I remember talking in a conference about it with someone a year ago. So it should be, have gone somewhere. So definitely we are learning about. DHL is doing a lot for the shipping industry at the moment to trying to move things with a more sustainable fuel, I would say. But in terms of other sport, I think we should look at football. UEFA is doing a great job. It's like they have given the tools to the teams to try to measure, and they've given guidelines to trying to decarbonize. So they issue about a year and a half ago, the guideline for sustainable infrastructures, so sustainable stadium, and FIFA did the same a couple of weeks ago, so taken from the UEFA guideline. So it's quite, infrastructure is quite a big point. It's like if we think the new infrastructure and new circuit and the new build is like, or non-permanent infrastructure like your Monaco or your Melbourne, having guideline on how to try to decarbonize that or to account for the carbon is really important. Tennis is doing their bits mainly on awareness of players. So they got a tracker for carbon footprint that all the players for ATP, they're filling up. So they kind of have got this league where everybody has got their carbon footprint. So when players take private jet, they have to be accountable for that. So it's quite good things, and they have to offset at the end of the season. So I think every sport is trying to do a bit in each single area, but if they would talk with each other,
yes,
that achieve massive change. I think
I know that's the thing with sustainability is, and especially with sports, which is such a competitive thing, sustainability is the one thing that people should all just collaborate on. It doesn't have to be competitive, and I think sometimes the hardest thing is just bringing all those conversations together and getting best practices from all the different arenas and series and sports and industries, which can be hard. But you are doing some of that work. So let's talk about the founding of Innovation Consulting. I mean, congratulations on that. It's incredible what you all are doing. Can you talk to us a little bit about what gap in the industry you were looking to fill and sort of what you do today with innovation?
So initially in 2018, when innovation came about, I wasn't looking to fill any gap in the industry. Yeah. I knew that there was a gap in the motorsport industry that was on sustainability, and I wanted to try to accelerate to make sure that the sport was future-proofed. For me, thinking that motorsport partnership or sponsorship could have stopped, and then the whole business model would have fallen because we were not sustainable motorsport, it was really painful, especially because I went into the industry just after university and my master, and I was still in the industry by 2018. So thinking that the industry could have 10 years max, and then if they that actually wouldn't decarbonize, nothing would have happened, or they could actually gone bang. I was very much like, this needs to change. And for that, I want to do a PhD, not really for coming back as a company owner, I would say, but more to come back into the FIA and the industry to trying to make a real change. But there is quite a funny anecdote about how this company was founded, because I was invited in 2018 Bahrain F1 race from Charlie Whiting to talk about my PhD, because my PhD was coming to an end. Charlie was always a good friend, was my boss when I was at the FIA. We had a lot of talking about sustainability during my PhD. And when I arrived in Bahrain and I was talking with him about the problems of the motorsport and the sport industry and why I did a PhD and what I found and what I wanted to do next, he said to me, well, you should put up your own company. And you should set this up and trying to make the big change like you helped with safety. And I was like, I'm not sure I want to do that, but I'll have to think about it. And fast forward 6 months afterwards, I set up the company, obviously, and had my first couple of pieces of work, one with the FIA, to review what they were doing and to set up their strategy, and another with another client that want to examine what the market was doing in motorsport and sustainability. So that was really what started all. And then after one piece of work, there was another one, and then we're starting to employ people in 2021. Wow. Just after COVID, and that's where we are now. We are now 12, and we all working for the same goal.
It's incredible. Well, congratulations. And sometimes all you need to start something is just that little push from someone who believes in you. And so it's incredible what you've done. So you've done some fascinating work with things like impact measurement, ESG assessments, FIA accreditation, as you mentioned. What are some of the learnings from all of that work when it comes to motorsport organizations? Like, how are there blind spots in terms of measuring sustainability and measuring emissions? Like, what have you learned from all of that work over the past few years?
So I think measuring emission, everybody is pretty good now. I think it's pretty established. Still quite a lot of troubles on scope 3 and what measuring and what not to measure, but I think everybody is on the way. So F1 itself and Alan Jones has done a good job in trying to get everybody measuring the same things. The F1 teams have got a carbon survey that the F1 distributed every year to fill it up with the at least the minimal category that they want to measure. That are quite a lot, to say. Blind spot, there are still quite a lot. So everybody does social impact activities, but nobody has got a measurement framework that is any good and validated by university that they use to measure impact, social impact. Number of people reach, great, but it's not really like the indicator we want to see. We obviously put one together with UCL a few years ago, and we use in some of our projects, but we would like to see the social impact measure much bigger, much better, I would say. The economic impact is measured really well, and every circuit, for example, at the moment has got an economic impact report. I'm sure you have seen the one from Las Vegas not long ago. So that is very well established. I would love to see something like that for this social impact side, because it's very important and it's also very strong, especially on sport and on F1, because of the number of funds and the number of people that they reach every time. In terms of environmental sustainability, there is still a few question marks on circular economy initiative. I think people could do better. McLaren is trying to think about the car and circular economy. On the carb, you can also maybe think about the branding and the material they use during the F1. So things like that. There is still a couple of things that could really highlight best practice that teams could do. But I think it's a journey. You know, the important thing is that they've started the journey. Some have started very early and they're much higher up in the rank. Some have just started. So I think we will see, hopefully we will see some collaboration as well. They have taken this as a bit of a race or a bit of a competitive advantage. I think actually it's only going to be worth it if we collaborate together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said about social impact, because I think a lot of people, when they think about sustainability, they forget about that piece of it. They only think of the environment, but social impact is such a big part of that as well. And it's good to hear that at least the measurement part of emissions is farther along than maybe it was however many years ago. So there's progress being made, but to your point, maybe not quite fast enough, but we're getting there. But speaking of roadblocks, I guess, we're definitely in an interesting political climate at the moment, definitely in the US and I think in other places more broadly. When it comes to sustainability, we're seeing a lot of companies start to roll back their climate commitments, their social impact, DEI type initiatives. What do you think the significance or impact of that is?
Yeah, so we got the same in Europe, because the CSRD, I'm not sure if you have heard, they're trying to roll it back for another couple of years. So it's everywhere, I think, this attitude. I think company will change attitude. They will actually, some of the ones that are starting the journey, they will feel accountable for actually their journey, and not because there is a legislation and not because they have to do it, but because they are watched by talents, and talent retention and sustainability is a big piece at the moment. They are watched by customers and people that actually spend their money in their company. So it's kind of like a product, and the sustainability of a product is another big thing. So I've got quite a lot of hope that although things are rolling back from governments, mm-hmm. they will not roll it back from companies. There will be some rollback from companies that have committed to something that they couldn't achieve. But we also need to think that some company set their KPIs about 8 years ago, when we didn't really had any firm view of what net zero was or carbon neutral was. So it was very wishy-washy, the sustainability arena then. And now that those terms are much more enforced. So your net zero is, you have to minimize, and only a small amount need to be offset or carbon removal. And your carbon neutral, you actually can calculate, and then you can offset everything. But everybody, it doesn't really expect a carbon neutral. Everybody's actually pledged the net zero. And I think now that people realize the difference and they realize that they have to be transparent and they cannot fudge the data, that is where with the company that we will see rolling back. So it's about setting realistic KPIs, smart targets when people building sustainability strategy.
Yeah. And I like what you said about talent and talent retention and them and employees actually driving a lot of this on the company side as well, because I hope that's also the case for fans of sports. You know, those fans are younger demographics and care more about the environment, care more about inclusivity. That will also drive a lot of the commitments on the sporting side as well. So hopefully that makes us all feel like we have some power when we care about these things. So I guess that's a good maybe note to end on. If you had to give a call to action, whether that's to motorsport organizations, to teams, to fans, what's the biggest thing that we all can do to push for a more sustainable and inclusive future in racing?
My call to action for everything will be, let's start a conversation. People don't speak enough with each other, and there are lots of points that I always say to all my clients, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. This has been already done by X. Just go and talk with X and see what you can bring as learning. So my call to action is really, if there is one thing that I would say, people should try to speak more, and they should try to cooperate more. And that we will actually accelerate as fast as I would like to see.
Yeah. Sustainability. I love that. Well, Christiana, thank you so much. This has been an incredibly enlightening conversation. I'm so excited for everybody to hear it. And thank you for all the work that you're doing in motorsport.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.